We are here today with Laureen Nussbaum, who has a new book, Shedding Our Stars, The Story of Hans Kallmayr, and how he saved thousands of families like mine. Welcome, Laureen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So let's talk about your book. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, the book came about because Hans Kallmayr was a very important person in my life. In fact, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here. He saved my life. So when a German biography about him appeared, I felt that we needed to have something in English about him. So I started translating a German biography and found that the text was too much geared to the German public, so it would not fly in this country. And then I started rewriting and wrote my own book. And some friends, Ursula Le Guin among them, prevailed upon me that I should mix my own story into the book so it would be not only about Hans Kallmayr, but also about my own family and how we survived. And that's what the book is about.
Can you tell me a little bit about that story in particular, your story, your relation to Hans Kallmayr?
Well, my story is that I was born in Frankfurt, Germany, the same city that Anne Frank was born. In fact, my parents and the Franks knew each other in Frankfurt. And the Franks before us in 1933 and we in 1936 left Frankfurt because of Hitler and the prevailing Nazi ideology, Nazi laws, and so on. So we found ourselves as refugee families in the Netherlands. And I grew up essentially in Amsterdam. My feelings, Amsterdam is my home city rather than Frankfurt.
So who was Hans Kallmayr?
Hans Kallmayr was a German lawyer who was an anti-Nazi. He never joined the Nazi party. In fact, he thought himself of leaving Germany because he was so disgusted with the Nazis. But then relatives advised him not to. He found himself a soldier in 1940, and he was in the Netherlands right after the Germans occupied the Netherlands. He did not like at all to play the military games. He was very adverse, very much against the military. So as soon as he could, he went to The Hague, where the occupation government was using the premises of the Dutch government. The Dutch queen and her ministers, secretaries had left, and so they had their offices in The Hague, and Kallmayr went there. He knew of a important person in his own city, in Osnabrück, who had a function there, and he asked this man, Carlo Studer, would you by any chance have a job for me? I want to get out of the military. And this man said, yes, right now we really need somebody who is a good lawyer because of the new decree that all Jews have to register. And there are doubtful cases, and we need a lawyer to decide doubtful cases. So that's how Kallmayr got his job in the Netherlands. He was the one person who was to decide whether a petitioner who claimed that he was not as Jewish as his or her papers read, he had to decide whether the claim was justified or not. And okay, he used this position to help as many Jews as he could.
Okay, and how exactly did he do that?
Well, how he did it was because he, the laws were written in a funny way. You know, the Germans were so sure that this has to be a racial thing. But how do you define a Jew? Well, they defined a Jew as somebody who had three or more Jewish grandparents. How do you decide what are Jewish grandparents? Well, they had to be or have been or be to be members of the Jewish congregation, forgetting that there were many non-Jewish wives who, when they got married to a Jewish husband, joined the congregation just for the sake of peace in the family.
Right.
And that's how he found a little loophole, and he used his position to help people find these loopholes, essentially.
Okay. And so what helped your family to survive?
My family had the fact that I did have an absolutely honest-to-goodness non-Jewish grandmother. And all we had to do now is affix a non-Jewish grandfather to her, which was the trick. And then my mother would be not Jewish at all. And then it would be a mixed marriage, and my family would survive. So fortunately, my mother's Jewish grandmother was a bigot, yay for bigotry. She did not want and insisted that her Jewish son was not going to get married to a non-Jewish woman. And her son was a good son. He did what his mom said. So he never married my grandmother till his mother died. By that time, my mother was 20. So my mother had grown up as a out of wedlock, illegitimate child. And that was our saving. Because Karlmeyer said, well, the mother was clearly not Jewish. Who am I to say that the father was Jewish? The fact that this Jewish man married her 20 years later does not prove that that's the father. Close the case.
Wow. Okay. So you mentioned Anne Frank earlier. I'm wondering, what do you think is something that we overlook today when we talk about Anne Frank?
Well, you have to be careful because I'm a retired literature professor. And for me, Anne Frank is particularly important as a writer. This has been my hobby horse for 25 years. I have always been unhappy that Mr. Frank, however dear he was, and he really was a dear man, took it upon himself to mix Anne's original jottings down with her rewrite. That's the book that all of you have read, is a combination of two different versions. And I always pleaded for the rewritten version because that's what we do with any writer. We take the last version. And Mr. Frank didn't do that. So finally, now this last May, a German edition came out with the unadulterated version that Anne wanted to publish. And I wish we could read it in English too, and in Dutch, the original, but we can't because of copyrights. So that's...
Oh, interesting. Okay. I've been told that Otto Frank was best man at your wedding. Can you tell me how that happened?
He was indeed. When he came back all by himself... I always liked him. He was an ideal daddy, so I made sure I always bought flowers for his birthday and for family birthdays and so on. And so we kept close contact. And when my husband and I got married in 1947, just a few months after the diary came out for the first time, he was our best man at a wedding. Yes, indeed. And we kept in touch till he died, essentially. He died in 1980 at age of 91.
Lorraine, can you tell me about your work with the Anne Frank Project?
Well, it all started really in 1992 when the Anne Frank exhibit, the first Anne Frank exhibit came to the church. I forget what? Methodist Church, that's right, at the Methodist Church. A questionnaire went out to people who might have firsthand experience with surviving the Holocaust. Would there be ready and available to speak to the general public. And my husband and I both were ready to do that. So from that time on, really, I found myself more and more involved in answering requests to speak to people about the experience of being a refugee and a survivor. Yes.
So you were someone who was a refugee during and after World War II. Do you see any parallels to what's going on in the world today when we're talking about refugees?
Heavens, yes. I mean, if I think of the people at the southern border of the United States, I get gooseflesh, really. It's awful what we are doing to people who want to have a safe life and a future for their children. Of course there are parallels, very much so, yes.
Tell me about that. Tell me about living without
a country.
We were
stateless. Hitler made all of us stateless. I think it was in 1941. I'm not entirely sure right now. All of us lost our German nationality. So at the end of the war, we had no passports. We were stateless. And for instance, my then fiancé, later husband, wanted to work for the Red Cross, but the Red Cross didn't take any stateless people. He wanted to actually, you know, go to the concentration camps and help the people. He was young and strong, but he was not wanted because he had no passport. And when our first child was about to be born, we still were stateless. So my father had this great idea, why don't you go to England? At least one member of the family will have a nationality. So I went to London and I stayed with the family of Ted Koppel. That's why Ted Koppel writes the introduction to my book, because I've known him since he was 8 years old. So we stayed in the house of, I stayed not we, I, stayed in the house of the couples, gave birth to our oldest son, who then flew back with me to Amsterdam, the proud owner of a British passport at the age of 13 days.
Wow. And why do you think that's so important?
I think that's important because people need to know about this. When you read in books, you don't really get the direct personal experience that a person can convey who has been in it. And also, of course, that I mentioned that in the book, the injustice that is sort of built in society when my husband and his parents tried to leave Europe to come to the United States in the late 30s when their life depended on it. And both his parents were Holocaust victims. Of course, they were not wanted, just like we don't want people now at the southern border. When in 1957, he was a nuclear physicist and he applied, yay, come in, because the Russians have Sputnik and we want physicists, you know, the same person, which is an irony and an injustice in my book.
Right, the qualifications at various times. What do you want listeners to remember the most from your story?
Well, what I find most important is that right now in a period when people scratch their heads and say, well, it's awful what the United States is doing. They don't agree with the president. What can we do as individuals? And Hans Kallmayr shows that if you look carefully, there often are little things you can do that can at least save lives. If they can't maybe save history, but they can save lives. And that's, I think, very important.
Right. Hans Kallmayr saved, what was it, 3,700 Jews?
At least, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Lorene, I hear you have some book events coming up. Can you tell me about those?
Yes, I have. I have two in Portland. One is at the First Unitarian Church on Main Street. I think it's 1200 block, and that's at 7 in. And that's another book launch. I have also something at Portland State on Monday. Maybe I wasn't clear. Tuesday, the 15th at 7 at the Unitarian Church. And then at Portland State at 3:30 in the Browsing Library, that's room 238 Smith Center, there's a talk where I speak about resistance as a viable option and take Hans Kallmayr as an example.
Okay. Very cool. Is there anything else you want to...
No, I think I'm very grateful that you want to listen to me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. We've been speaking with Lorene Nussbaum, the author of the new book, Shedding Our Stars, the story of Hans Kallmayr and how he saved thousands of families like mine.